Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. This is now into my third week of teaching on a series that I've entitled Financial Stewardship. I have a brand new book out on this. We have DVDs. We've also got a DVD that is testimonies of, I think that there's either six stories on here of people that have had financial miracles. And I tell you, it's just tremendous what's happening. You know, you can be a person that loves God and doing the best you can. And if you don't have the ability, if you don't have the finances that you need, it can just stop you in your tracks. My wife and I lived through this for many years. You know, really, I'm not preaching anything different than I was preaching 30 years ago. But the difference is that now I have the finances to be able to put this on television, to have a Bible school, to do things, and we're touching so many more people's lives. And I'm not teaching differently. It's not like I've got a new revelation, but I've got a new ability to share these truths with people because God has revealed things to me about finances. And I believe that God wants to also speak to you. Yesterday I was teaching from Luke chapter 16 about this parable of the unjust steward. And we got down to verse 8 in Luke 16. In the first seven verses, it gives the story of a man who is a steward managing the financial affairs of another person, and he had wasted his master's goods. And I'm not sure that that's limited to stealing money, but at least I believe it includes stealing money or using his master's money to benefit him personally and just applying it to himself. Now that in itself is not so unusual. But when the master said that he was going to, you know, call him in, look at the books, and if what he had been accused of was true, he was going to fire him. Well, then this steward decided to call in every one of his master's creditors, and he started discounting their bills. And, you know, it isn't given here in dollar amounts, but I imagine that this is equivalent to him calling people in and saying, here, write out a new contract. I'm going to discount your debt to my master $50,000, $100,000, maybe $200,000 or whatever it was. And he did this with every person that owed his master's money. He used his position that he was in and basically gave away his master's money as a bribe so that when he got fired, he would be able to go and mooch off of them and say, you know, you owe me. I gave you a $50,000, $100,000 discount. Can you help me? And these people would feel obliged. Up until this point, that's not so unusual. But in the eighth verse, when the master found out about this, it says that the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. And yesterday, at the very end of the program, I was trying to make this point. There's two things I want to make out of this eighth verse, and the first one is about the master. It shows a lot about him and where he was in his relationship with the Lord, the fact that he was able to respond to a person who was stealing from him and compliment him and give him some positive feedback about what he had done. That just is amazing. Most people, I was trying to make this point at the end of our program yesterday, most people, if somebody broke into your house and stole from you, you wouldn't compliment them about what a great thief they were. And, oh, you're choosing the very best and you've got great taste. Man, people wouldn't do that. And you know why? Because most people, boy, I pray that you hear what I'm saying here because this could change your life. Most people's trust and faith really is in their things. And if somebody was to break into your house or to go into your business and begin to start stealing money from you, you would be devastated because your trust, your hope, your faith, your confidence is in your money and in your assets. Now, some of you may disagree with that, and some of you may have already had the Lord minister to you in this area and you have been set free. But I'm saying there's many people who would disagree with what I'm saying, but I could prove to you it's true. Because the Lord says, give, and it shall be given unto you. The Lord talks about the tithe, and on we can go. And I have had thousands and thousands and thousands of people come to me and say, but I can't tithe. I need this money. I would be glad to tithe if I had any extra. You know what a person is saying when they're saying that? They're saying, I trust in this money. I can't trust in God. Even though God gave me a promise and said that when I give, it'll be given back unto me, I do not trust that. I don't trust God. I have to have this money. If you truly trusted God, then I guarantee you, you would follow through with what the Word of God has to say. But the truth is, most people's trust is in their money, in their assets, and you can prove it by their lack of giving. I'm not saying that to hurt you. I'm saying it to open up your eyes and let you realize where there is a problem that needs to be fixed. This man is reflecting an attitude that God is his source. And once you understand this, money is just a tool. You know, I've got a lot of tools that I use. I work around my house and do things. And I've got tools. But if a tool broke, I don't just cry. It doesn't break my heart. I just go get another one. It's a tool. It is not the thing. There are some people that, you know, their car, a car is supposed to be a tool. It's supposed to help you get to places and do things. But there are some people that if their tool, if their car was damaged, it would just break their heart because they love that car. That is a misplaced priority. That's the wrong way to look at things. This rich man, to me, just says volumes. He says volumes of things about himself. He recognized God was his source and money was just a tool. And even though this man was misusing his money and he was going to be a good steward of what God gave him, and if this man was misusing his money, he would fire him because he's not going to reward negative behavior. So he dealt with the situation. I'm not saying money wasn't important, but when he saw somebody stealing, his heart wasn't in that. Most people, if somebody came in and stole your money, say, for instance, you were in my studio right now, and if I gave you my wallet and you walked out of this studio, do you know what? Most people, your heart would go right with that person. Whoever's got your finances, your purse, your wallet, your heart would go with them. There's a string connected directly between most people's wallet and their heart. And you touch their money, and I guarantee you, you've touched their heart. But you can reach a place to where you aren't passionate about money. You just use it like a tool. You have to have it, but your faith is in God. In a sense, it would be like this old nursery rhyme that we had about the goose that laid the golden egg. And if you had a golden egg, well, then that's great. You can cash it in for money and it could be a blessing. But you know what? If you've got the goose that lays all of these golden eggs, you wouldn't be so concerned if somebody stole one of your eggs, one of your golden eggs, because after all, you've got the goose that produces the golden eggs. In a sense, this is what I'm trying to get across, that God is your source. God is your prosperity. When you understand that it is not your hard work, that God is your source, and you are just a steward of what He's given you, then when something happens and you have a car wreck and your car gets dented, or if your assets go down, or if you don't get the raise that you wanted, or if something happens to your bottom line, to your assets, if your trust is truly in God, then it doesn't devastate you because God is your source. A person could come in and steal from you, and it wouldn't matter because God's the one that gave it to you in the first place. Again, I'm not saying that you don't sit there and call the police and file a complaint and try and get your thing back and do what's necessary, but it doesn't devastate you because your trust isn't in those resources. You know, I had a situation where we printed our Life for Today study Bible. This has been back, I couldn't tell you, but I suspect it's 20 years ago, something like that, maybe 25 years ago. And this is back before I had the resources that I've got now. And I was struggling to be able to print this. It's a 600-page hardback book. And it was $10 and something per book to get it printed. And the way I was able to do this was I advertised this to my partners. I asked them to pre-buy copies of this. and we gave them a discount, and we took that money up front and paid the printer and paid for this printing, and then we paid for more than what were pre-sold, and as we sold the next round of them, we would make a profit off of them. So that's the way it was going to work. Well, after I had already taken this money, I gave it to the printer. I had my staff come to me one day, and I remember them telling me we had paid out $27,000, which at the time my income was probably around $4,000 a month or something. And so this was, man, it was over 6 months worth of our income. It was approaching a year's income. It was a huge investment. I gave it to the printer, and it turned out that the person who is the liaison that worked for the printer, he stole that $27,000. Not only me, but he did the same thing to Charles Stanley and Nikki Cruz. We were all clients of this same printer, publisher. And he stole all of our money. And when they came in and told us, I was just devastated for just a few seconds, because not only did I lose the $27,000, but they told me that to get it reprinted, he had given us a lowball figure so that we would give him our business, and to get it reprinted by that same publisher, it was going to be $40,000. So altogether, I just lost $67,000 or whatever it was. It was around those figures. And I mean, I was just devastated because this was well over a year's income for me. It was devastating. But you know what? Just like this master right here in this situation, I had at least come to the place that I knew God was my source. And I said, Father, you know, I turned over to Proverbs chapter 6. It says, if you catch a thief, he has to restore sevenfold or give all of the substance of his house. And I mean, within 10 seconds or something, after me hearing this news and being devastated, I just remember standing there kind of like in shock, looking at them, trying to process this, what it meant. Within 10 seconds or so, I immediately thought of Proverbs chapter 6. Satan, this is you. You stole this. God is my source. God is going to give this back. I didn't get mad at the person. I didn't go after him. Instead, I immediately said, God, you're my source. You're the one who gave us this money in the first place, and you will return it. And I stood on that verse that says, if you catch a thief, he has to restore sevenfold. And I immediately sat down and multiplied 7 times $67,000 or whatever it was. And I said, that's what we're getting back this year. We are receiving this back in the name of Jesus. And did you know at the end of that year, our income was nearly to the penny, 6 times or 7 times the amount of money that this printer stole from us. And I can say that the reason I did that is because I recognized God was my source, and money, even though it's necessary, it's just a tool. And when somebody stole money from me, I didn't fall apart like a $2 suitcase. I didn't go into depression. I immediately recognized that, you know, again, going back to this illustration, I've still got the goose that produces these golden eggs. And praise God, God has blessed me once. He'll bless me again. Amen. You know, a good friend of mine, Dave Hinton, has this song that he sings about Ike, who went out and dug a well. But when he got up in the morning, he went out to get a drink, and the devil had filled in his well. And he got a dipper full of dirt, and his heart did sink. But what did Ike do? It talks about he just picked up a shovel and dug another well. He just went back. He says, God blessed me once, and he'll bless me again. And, you know, that's the attitude that I'm trying to get across. I believe that this rich man had actually gotten to a place that he realized money wasn't the major thing. It was the blessing of God that gave him that wealth that is the real asset. And as long as you have that, it doesn't matter what happens. You can have a downturn in the economy. You can lose your job. You could have a car wreck and mess up your asset there. And you could have things happen. Things happen. We live in a fallen world. But you can get to a place to where money is not your focus. God is your focus. You know, we're living in a time right now that they're calling a worldwide recession. When the stock market went down 50%, our stocks went up 61%. But you know what? Since that time, that was in 2009 when the stock market went down and our stocks went up. Since that time, we've had our stocks go down some. I mean, it's not just all completely perfect and everything's working right. But you know what? Our attitude hasn't changed. We aren't just happy and praising God when it's just going up, and when it goes down, we're depressed. Because God is my source. My faith is in Him. And He's the same. I don't care what the United States economy does. I don't care what the world economy does, what the stock market does. God is my source. And because God is my source, I, in a sense, can be detached from my money, detached from my assets. As a steward, I am going to take care of them, and I pay attention to them, and I believe I do what I need to do. But if there is a bump in the road, it doesn't destroy me because God is my source. Not everybody can say that. I remember when this financial crisis happened at the end of 2008, that there were people who had been floating lots of money and had these risky investments, and all of a sudden when everything got shaky and began to, the card house began to collapse, there were these wealthy people that were committing suicide. You know why? Because their trust was totally in money. It was totally in this world system. And when the world system began to unravel, they just became undone. I'm telling you, there is a lesson to learn just by this rich man's reaction, that he was so detached from his money that even when a person was stealing money from him, he was objective enough to sit there and give a compliment to this steward who had wasted his goods. There's not very many people that could do that. And you know why? Because we are too focused on money. We are too focused on assets, on our bottom line. Our trust is in those things and not in God. As long as we are in this fallen world, there's going to be things happen. There's going to be times that it looks like things aren't going your way. That's just the way that it happens. I mean, we're swimming upstream. We're going against the current. There are going to be problems. If you never bump into the devil, it's because you're both headed the same direction. But when you turn around and start going God's way, I guarantee you there's going to be things that come against you. But if your trust is truly in God, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13. He does not fluctuate. It doesn't matter what the economy does. Your faith can remain strong. Your trust can remain strong. You can have a feast while everybody else is in famine and worry and fretful about things. You can still prosper because God is the same. If your confidence goes up and down with the economy, with the job futures that you have, and with other things like this, then that's an indication to you that your trust is not truly in the Lord. I know that that's something that doesn't bless some of you, but I'm saying these things trying to help you. That very few people have this attitude, and that's the reason that you aren't the rich man in this story, is because money is too big of a deal to you. Money is a tool. Yes, we need to have it, but it's just a tool. The real asset is God. You know, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto your fathers as it is this day." God doesn't give you wealth directly. Now, this is a key point. Some of you are praying, "Oh God, give me $1,000. Oh God, I need $10,000 to be able to buy this house, to do whatever." God doesn't give you money directly. In heaven, there isn't money. Money is a human institution. Men created money. This is a worldly system. Now, God uses it and He can bless you, but God doesn't give you money. The Bible says He gives you the power to get wealth that He might establish His covenant. God has given you an anointing. There are promises here that He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. There are promises that when you give, it shall be given unto you. And there is an anointing. There is a supernatural endowment and power from God that enables you to prosper. And that is the true asset, is this anointing, the blessing of God, not the money, not the house, not the car, not the asset that that blessing produces. Man, I pray that you're getting this, because this is huge. If you ever grab hold of this and recognize, God, you are my source. You have blessed me. You have spoken words over me that cause me to prosper. And that is what makes me great. That is what makes my needs be supplied, is your blessing, your favor upon me. The favor is what's important. And once you understand that, well, and you believe it and go to flowing with it, I guarantee you it'll produce huge amounts of assets. But once the assets come, you don't take your faith away from the Lord. Your confidence is still in Him. And if you hit a bump in the road and something happens to your assets, it's no big deal because you've got the favor of God that produced those assets. You know, you could turn over to Genesis chapter 39 and verse 2. And this is where Joseph had been sold into slavery. And Joseph had been favored by his father, but God gave him two dreams about how he was going to rise up above his father, above his brethren. They would all come and bow down to him. And he had the favor of God on him. But did this mean that everything in his life worked perfectly? No, because in the 37th chapter of Genesis, his brothers hated him and were envious of him and sold him into slavery. And in Genesis chapter 39 in verse 2, it talks about Joseph, how he was standing on the slave auction block. And the way they sold the slave was to strip you naked so that the buyer could see what you were getting. If there was something wrong, if they weren't formed well, the buyer wanted to know what he was getting. So here's Joseph stripped naked, his clothes in a pile next to him. Here's Potiphar, the man who bought him, who's dressed in fancy clothes and jewels and gold and very rich. And yet, in Genesis 39:2, it says the man Joseph was a very prosperous man. Get a picture of this. A man stripped naked on an auction block, being sold as a slave, and he's prosperous. And here's the guy over here with the gold and the jewels, and God didn't say he was prosperous. It's because prosperity is not just things. It's the favor of God. It's the blessing of God. Joseph was the one who had the blessing of God on him. Joseph was the one who would eventually be Potiphar's boss. He would be Lord over Potiphar. And that was true when he didn't have a stitch of clothes on, when he was naked being sold as a slave. It's the favor of God. It's the blessing of God that's the real asset. And once you get that, it has to be activated by faith. But once you understand that you are the blessed of the Lord, it's just a matter of time until you start seeing assets, physical things happen. And when they come, you rejoice. You use them as a tool, but you never transfer your faith from the blessing of God to these things. And that way, if something happens, like in this story, and somebody steals some money from you, you can come and you can sit there and be so detached from your money, your assets, it's not such a big deal. You could wind up complimenting the person who's actually stealing from you, because money is just a tool. It's no big deal. It's the blessing of God, the favor of God, that's the real asset. I pray that God helps you to understand what I'm saying. This is a matter of the heart. It's an attitude of faith. And many people just will not get what I'm saying. But if you'll open up your heart today, this could be something that could change your life. And you could start rejoicing and praising God, even if you don't have two nickels to rub together. You could praise God today because the favor of God is on you. And if you'll believe it, it's just a matter of time until it produces. I'm out of time again today, but if you will continue to watch our program tomorrow, we're going to cover some really good things that could help you. Also, I've got all kinds of materials, a brand new book, a study guide, a DVD with testimonies on it. Listen to our announcer and then call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a brand new book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Or you can get both the book and the study guide as part of the Prosperity Package. This package includes the Financial Stewardship Series on your choice of CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program, the book, the study guide, and the Financial Breakthroughs DVD. The entire package has a catalog value of $114. But today you can get the Prosperity Package for a gift of $85 or more. Make sure to specify the CD or DVD when you order. The third audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled The Unjust Steward, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado this week for the Better Way to Worship Conference, April 25th through the 27th, in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, May 5th through the 6th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 10th through the 12th. He'll also be at the Solid Rock of Atlanta, May 13th, in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Conference, June 1st through the 4th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 2nd through the 6th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
If God asked you to leave your comfortable lifestyle, move to one of the most violent parts of the world, and be a living example of His love and grace, would you say yes? Meet world changer Dennis Stauffer, CBC graduate, class of 2006. Dennis answered God's call on his life, attended Caris Bible College, and moved to an area of Guatemala where even the police were afraid to go. In just 3 short years of practical ministry, the truth that Dennis learned at CBC has literally transformed this part of Guatemala. Lives have been changed, crime and violence have decreased, and police have returned to the area. CBC graduate Dennis Stauffer, he's changing lives in Guatemala. Change your life. Change the world. Log on to CarisBibleCollege.org for more information on how you can become a world changer. Caris Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries.
CBC points you to God, a relationship with God. That's what I came here for, and that's what CBC does.
Caris Bible College has been making disciples and changing lives since 1994, and we've outgrown our Colorado Springs facility. Phase 1 of our new Woodland Park CBC campus has been fully funded and completed, and Phase 2 of the project is gearing up right now. Andrew and Jamie would like to give you the opportunity to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Caris Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.